Good afternoon, it's 4:30, and this is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Sean Delaney.
And the good thing is, when people see that we're looking for them, you know, people come forward.
Morehead State University's police say social media is a big help to their investigations.
A Morehead man wanted for questioning in a racially charged vandalism case has come forward.
A man is dead after a shooting last night in Lexington.
The domestic violence vigil was held last night in Fayette County.
The Kentucky State Police are in need of new resources.
In sports, Game 3 of the World Series takes place tonight in Houston.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Rain later tonight, low of around 48 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Morehead man wanted for questioning in connection with racially charged vandalism has contacted police. Morehead police say 20-year-old Jeffrey Masters contacted the department and has scheduled an interview. Masters spoke with police after the September 30th incident on McClure Circle was discovered. Captain Kyle Callahan says Masters' cell phone was found on a boat that had been vandalized.
The way that he explained it, at first it did seem plausible. But as we've done more investigations into it, you know, other information has come out, that's the reason we want to talk to him again.
Morehead State University officials have determined that Masters is not a student at the university. However, some victims of the crime do attend MSU.
Morehead State University's police chief says social media is proving to be an effective and invaluable investigative tool. Merle Harrison says his department now turns to Facebook, Twitter, and other types of social media after it first asked for help from other law enforcement agencies and utilizing other methods in trying to break open cases.
That doesn't work. We use some other methods, but if we've shown if we put pictures on social media, especially if it's a local person or we believe it's a local person, it doesn't take long before the news travels and the message gets out, and we normally get information that comes in that'll identify them pretty quick.
Harrison admits that using social media in certain cases is like having thousands of potential amateur investigators and confidential informants at his department's disposal.
A Lexington man has entered a guilty plea for murder in an armed robbery that happened 4 years ago. WKYT reports Tristan Jones appeared in Fayette Circuit Court yesterday to admit that he robbed and shot Derek Pelfrey in November of 2013. Pelfrey died after being shot in the neck while inside a car at the intersection of Spangler Drive and Ridgepoint Run. Judge Pam Goodwine says because Jones is pleading guilty to the murder and robbery, he will not have to testify against Robert Guernsey, who is also charged in the case. She says Guernsey is off the hook for the death penalty now that Jones has admitted to pulling the trigger, but she's still conflicted on the matter.
I have seriously questioned not following that precedent. However, after more careful consideration in following that precedent, I don't believe I have much of a choice.
The trial for Guernsey starts November 13th. Prosecutors recommend that Jones spend 30 years in prison for murder and 10 for robbery. Judge Goodwine set his formal sentencing for December 15th.
A man is dead after a shooting last night in Lexington. WKYT reports 51-year-old Anthony Carter was shot on Jeffrey Court near New Circle Road. Emergency crews took him to UK Hospital, where he died early this morning. The details of the shooting are unclear. Carter's death marks the 27th homicide in Lexington this year. It matches the record for the highest ever annual murder rate in the city for the first time since 2001.
Two people have been arrested in connection with a carjacking in Lexington earlier this week. WKYT reports 23-year-old Tamel Johnson and 19-year-old Destiny Ivy are both charged with robbery. Police say the victim reportedly spent the night driving them around, but eventually the pair attacked him and took his car while he was driving on Versailles Road. Johnson and Ivy are lodged in the Fayette County Jail.
A Floyd County couple has been sentenced for their role in a murder that took place 4 years ago. WSAZ reports Famer Halbert was murdered in his McDowell home in March of 2013. His wife, Loren Halbert, was shot in the arm. Earlier this week, Loretta and Ronald Wright, Loren's sister and brother-in-law, both entered guilty pleas in Floyd County Circuit Court. Ronald Wright pleaded guilty to the murder, as well as assault and wanton endangerment. Loretta Wright pleaded guilty to several charges, including facilitation of murder. Yesterday, Loretta Wright was sentenced to 15 years in prison, but Ronald Wright asked the judge to withdraw his guilty plea after receiving his sentence. Although his sentencing will require another court date, the family of the victim says they finally have a sense of closure. Luke Halbert is Famer's brother.
A little relieved that it's over, and hopefully them two, maybe not in this life, you know, they're punished for what they done to my brother.
Ronald Wright is due back in court on November 22nd.
The Fayette County Sheriff's Office hosted hundreds of people in a candlelight vigil yesterday in response to recent homicides related to domestic violence. WKYT reports the vigil took place outside the county courthouse in downtown Lexington, featuring stories from people whose lives have been affected by domestic violence. The Sheriff's Office plans to make it an annual event in hopes that more people will be inspired to speak up if they are in a violent situation. Police say Karina Gutierrez is one of two people in Lexington killed by domestic violence recently. She was beaten to death by her estranged husband earlier this month. Her cousin, Eva Alcarez, spoke at the vigil.
I hope for the best that this case can help inspire more people to stop the domestic violence, and there's help out there for them.
For more information or to get help, call the Fayette County Sheriff's Amanda Center at 859-252-1771.
The man suspected of robbing the Fleming County Animal Hospital last year has been indicted by a grand jury. The Ledger Independent reports 35-year-old Brandon Hamm was indicted on a charge of third-degree burglary for allegedly breaking a hospital window and taking $150. Flemingsburg police say Hamm cut himself on the broken glass and trailed blood throughout the building. Authorities say they collected DNA samples and were able to positively identify the blood as Hamm's. An arrest warrant was served on Hamm at the Mason County Detention Center while he was awaiting a trial date for several other charges.
A day after President Trump declared the opioid crisis a public health emergency, federal officials are announcing a National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. Paul Miles reports.
Russell Coleman is the U.S. attorney for the Western District of Kentucky.
What we're talking about today is an internal threat. It is the equivalent of a loaded gun sitting in your medicine cabinet.
The goal of the drug take-back program is to empty those cabinets of unwanted and expired medications.
Approximately 80% of young people, 80% of those that go on to abuse heroin, have their first taste in legal prescription drugs.
The Drug Take-Back Day is Saturday. You can find a list of drop-off locations at deatakeback.com. I'm Paul Miles.
The Kentucky State Police's lack of resources is causing safety concerns. KSB Commissioner Rick Sanders tells Spectrum News is pure politics. His agency is in need of a surplus of cash to get to purchase new vehicles to replace the badly aging fleet. Sanders says the KSB at one time purchased around 180 cars each year, but now they're down to about 120.
The problem with that is we keep increasing the average mileage of our cruisers. And as you know, a trooper lives in that cruiser. That is his or her office.
Sanders hopes that after getting the fleet back to where it needs to be, KSB will be able to order 160 new vehicles annually to keep the same issues from happening again.
We'll have more of your local news headlines after this. Come and enjoy local artwork at the 35th Annual Moorhead Art Guild Show, noon to 3 p.m. on Saturday, November 11th at the Carl Perkins Community Center. Artist registration 6 to 8 p.m. on Friday, November 10th and 8 to 10 a.m. on Saturday, November 11th. $20 for three pieces and $5 for each additional piece. Prizes awarded in fine art, textile, photography, 3D, and folk art. Public viewing is free and artwork may be purchased. Saturday, November 11th, noon to 3 p.m. at the Carl Perkins Community Center. An official at Moorhead State estimates that the renovation and expansion of the university's student center is now about 62% complete. The $49 million state-funded project involves renovating the old section of the Adrian Doran University Center, along with putting a nearly 87,000-square-foot addition on its east side. MSU Assistant Vice President for Facilities Management is Rick Linio. He says the effort has picked up steam in recent months.
Once you get out of the ground and do all the major demo and uncover all the unknown conditions, get all that cleared off, which was usually, you know, that was done, you know, a year ago. So once we get through with that and then start coming out of the ground and getting utilities up, then it's really okay. Now we just have to put this big complex building together and put all the pieces together, make sure they fit, and keep moving along. So that's where we are now.
Linio expects the work on the Adrian Doran University Center to be completed by late August or early September of next year.
Moorhead State University has partnered with Hazard Community and Technical College to establish a reverse transfer program. The Eagle Express program was established Wednesday. It aims to help transfer students by offering guidance from both MSU and HCTC advisors. Jen Timmerman is the Director of Transition Services at MSU. She says students who enroll in the program can be jointly admitted from day one.
So their first day at the community college, when they do their application and they say that they may want to transfer to another institution, from that point we sort of lock them in. They can do the joint admission application for free.
Prospective transfer students can participate in the program by contacting either HCTC or Moorhead State.
The Montgomery County School District is considering a revision of its facilities plan. WMKY's Jack Caudill has more.
According to the Mount Sterling Advocate, Montgomery Intermediate and other elementary schools would end up housing preschool through fifth grade, with sixth graders moving to McNabb Middle, which recently underwent a $14 million renovation. Officials say this would eliminate the need for an early learning center, which is housed in the former Mount Sterling Elementary School, which now has become the top capital project in the district. However, Superintendent Matt Thompson says such action would require redistricting all of the elementary schools. He adds the district would try to make the moves as painlessly as possible. The redistricting and classroom shifts could happen as soon as next year. For WMKY News, I'm Jack Cottle.
And Kentucky's Apple Shop is being honored on a national level this weekend at the summit celebrating cultural thought leaders and innovators in San Francisco. Apple Shop is coming up on its 50th anniversary, and Director of Advancement Tanya Turner says it's flattering to be recognized alongside other influential artists and cultural workers.
This year's list has artists from across the country that we've worked with before, like choreographer Liz Lerman, but also people like Barry Jenkins, the director of the award-winning movie Moonlight, and Issa Rae, the creator of the HBO Insecure series.
Apple Shop staff members will be present at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts 100 Summit to host an open house exploring the rural-urban narrative. And taking a look at the weather forecast in the WMKY listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Showers likely tonight, mainly after 2 a.m. Increasing clouds on the way with a low of around 41 degrees. Chance of precipitation is at 70%. Later on tomorrow, expect showers mainly before 1 p.m. High of around 42 degrees. Chance of precipitation will sit at around 90%. Tomorrow night, scattered showers mainly before 7 p.m. Mostly cloudy skies, low of around 33 degrees. Chance of precipitation at 30%. On Sunday, mostly cloudy skies, high near 45 degrees. And end your weekend on Sunday night, widespread frost mainly after 11 p.m. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with a low of around 30 degrees. Right now in Flemingsburg, it's 70 degrees. 74 degrees in Ashland. 74 degrees in Inez. Right now in Lexington, it's 69 degrees. In Winchester, it's 70 degrees. And it's 73 degrees on the campus of Moorhead State University.
On today's feature segment, commentator John Modaff wonders how fair it is to penalize people for certain behaviors, but not for others.
Recent stories out of Britain illustrate that what so many predicted years ago about healthcare and healthcare access is coming true. People are being denied access and treatment because of how they behave, not because of how sick they are. Triage is a well-known form of decision-making in medical care. When resources are limited but the number of people needing care is not, then triage is used to decide who goes to the head of the line. It's not exactly women and children first, but the logic is the same. Women and children first is a value statement based on reasoning that goes like this. Women and children are more necessary than grown men for the survival of society. Men, being relatively disposable and nowhere near irreplaceable, can go to the back of the line. While some people find this form of triage repulsive, it is a strong cultural tradition, even in a hip place like the USA. Just listen to the old news reports on the plane crash where Sully saved the passengers. Yes, when deplaning into the icy confines of the Sound, it was, as usual, women and children first. I didn't hear anyone objecting, did you? And so now we move to health care and access to it. Systems like the National Health Service in Britain are applying the same idea, that is, that some people are more worth saving than others, by denying care and treatment to certain groups of people. But instead of their gender or their age being used to deny them equal care, their behavior is being used to screen them out of eligibility. Yes, in reported cases, people who are overweight or who smoke are being told to slim down or quit before they will be allowed to have surgeries. Imagine being told that here in the U.S. Yes, ma'am, you do need an operation, but we're sorry. Our spit test indicates that you smoke, and our scale indicates that you're fat. Sorry, no surgery for you. Now go straighten up. We're not quite there yet. What American health wizards are doing instead is penalizing people other ways, mainly by charging them more for disapproved behavior, like smoking, for the same coverage other people get. The people who behave, according to the dictates of the health care experts, pay a cheaper premium. What is disappointing about such a system is the segregationist values that underlie it. The system operators do not segregate overweight people yet, or people with high cholesterol yet, or people who consume alcohol yet, or people who regularly speed and run stop signs, all of which are highly dangerous, very costly behaviors that overburden the healthcare system too. So why, under certain American systems, are certain people singled out for maltreatment or no treatment or treatment at higher cost, when objectively, verifiably costly conditions, such as obesity, alcohol consumption, dangerous driving, and high fat, salt, and sugar intake, are left alone? Segregation in any form is repulsive. Let's not accept it in healthcare any more than we do elsewhere. Let's stop this trend of arbitrary discrimination and penalize all unhealthy behavior or none of it. I'm John Modaf.
It's 4:48 and 73 degrees on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm Leanne Akers, here with Sean Delaney, and we're so glad you've joined us on this Friday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports after this.
Music, theater, and dance in the MSU School of Creative Arts presents a concert with Los Angeles recording artist, trumpeter Wayne Bergeron, and Greg Wing in the MSU Jazz Ensemble 1 in Button Auditorium at Morehead State University. The performance takes place at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, November 2nd. Admission is free and the public is invited. More information by calling 783-2473 or online at morehedstate.edu/Caudill College.
It's Anyone Series. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. Game 3 of the World Series is going indoors tonight as the Houston Astros take on the Los Angeles Dodgers at Minute Maid Park in Houston. The Astros and the Dodgers currently have a game apiece. Astros starting pitcher Lance McCullers says since coming off of Wednesday's 7-6 victory over the Dodgers, he is confident in tonight's result.
I go out there and I stay on the attack. This is a very, very talented group that I'll be facing tomorrow. They can really swing it. But for me, I'm very confident in myself, very confident in the game plan that we all put together, and have a lot of faith in my defense and especially Brian McCann back there. Just makes it a lot easier on me to see him and just focus on doing what I have to do to help the team win.
Starting pitcher for LA is Yu Darvish. First pitch is at 8:20 tonight. The Brewers have re-signed 12-game winner Chase Anderson and infielder Eric Sogard, and after cleaning house in their coaching staff, the Cubs have hired Chili Davis as their new hitting coach, Jim Hickey as the pitching coach, and John Butterfield to be their new third base coach. The Morehead State baseball team's Blue and Gold World Series is getting started today at Allen Field. The best-of-three set will cap off the Eagles' fall practices. Coach Mike McGuire says his players always make it a very competitive event.
As coaches, we don't necessarily always remember it, but, you know, you got some guys on the roster that, you know, it's like, yeah, I've never lost a Fall World Series, you know, and they're on year three or four. So, you know, we don't think about it, you know, once we get into mid-spring, you know, we don't think at all about that Fall World Series. But when it comes around every year, there's some serious bragging rights on the line, and the guys have a good time with it.
All in all, McGuire has been pleased with the MSU baseball's efforts during fall practices. The Cincinnati Bengals are gearing up to entertain Indianapolis at Paul Brown Stadium on Sunday. Even though star quarterback Andrew Luck remains shelved after having shoulder surgery, Bengals coach Marvin Lewis says second-year man Jacoby Brissett has proved to be a more than capable replacement.
When you watch on tape, you see the strength of his arm and his ability to reach the outside parts of the field as well as push the ball vertically. He is, you know, played without, you know, throwing interceptions, which is causing maybe to get trapped a couple times more often in the pocket than anything because he's not careless with the football, I think is very evident.
Brissett has completed over 59% of his passes for 1,409 yards with three touchdowns. The Moorhead State football team bids for its second straight victory as the Eagles visit Valparaiso for a PFL game on the road tomorrow at 2 p.m. If the 3-5 Eagles can beat Valpo, then Marist and Davidson in the following weeks, they'll score just their second winning season since 2008. However, Coach Rob Tenure isn't focused on that, and he doesn't want his team to be either.
I know everybody wants to talk about winning out, but I want to talk about winning today. This is a weekly product, and it comes down to your preparation and the matchup, and you've got to go out and you got to out execute your opponent. You got to play the better football game, and so that's what I'm looking forward to.
Valpo is 3-4 overall and 2-2 in conference. The Kentucky football team faces a longtime rival, Tennessee, tomorrow at 7:30 at Kroger Field. It's been a tough year for the Vols, who are winless in four SEC starts and just 3-5 overall. But UK coach Mark Stoops vows the Cats won't take the Big Orange lightly.
We know what Tennessee can do. I know the way people pile on people when they're not doing so well. I know how that goes. I've been there, and we can't control any of that. We got to control how we're going to play. I expect Tennessee against the exceptional Alabama team. So, you know, we expect them to come in with great pride and play very well, much like we did a year ago.
As for Louisville, the 5-3 Cardinals have an ACC game tomorrow at Wake Forest. In high school football tonight, two 8-1 teams will collide as Fleming hosts Paintsville. Fleming coach Bill Spencer says his Panthers are excited about facing the Tigers.
Paintsville's a team that you hear a lot about. You know, they've got a really strong reputation in this area for having a good football team. You know, we know the success they've had the last few years. So anytime you get to play a really good team like that, you know, you get excited about, you know, kind of seeing where you are, you know.
6-3, Bath is at home against Nicholas County. Bath has lost two straight, but Coach Johnny Pointer remains confident in his Wildcats.
Right now we're really playing with a lot of confidence, and we're really playing hard, as hard as we played since I've been here. So right now I'm really pleased with them.
Elsewhere, Johnson Central visits Belfry, West Carter plays at Fairview, Mason travels to Lewis, and Raceland has a game at Russell. The Moorhead State volleyball team is at home this weekend for a pair of OVC contests. The Eagles will look to add to their 2-8 conference mark tonight at 7 when they host Tennessee State. They'll meet Belmont tomorrow at 2 p.m. at Johnson Arena. And lastly in sports, Andrew Landry and J.J. Spahn are among five players who share the lead at Golf's Sanderson Farms Championship in Mississippi after firing first-round scores of 6-under par, 66. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball plays UK in the Kentucky Cares Classic in Lexington at Rupp Arena, 7 p.m. on Monday, October 30th. Proceeds support Team Rubicon to assist recent hurricane and wildfire victims. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The tech-heavy NASDAQ rose to a record high today as Wall Street cheered the blowout quarterly reports from three of the world's biggest tech companies, and the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 33.33 at 23,434.19. The S&P 500 was up 20.67 at 2581.07, and the NASDAQ Composite, certainly the big winner today, finishing with a gain of 144.49 at 6701.26. The NASDAQ 100 also hit a record as it was up almost 3%. And, of course, the NASDAQ 100 is made up of the 100 largest companies in the composite index. And earnings were definitely in focus today as Amazon was up over 13% as the e-commerce giant reported earnings per share of 52 cents, which was way ahead of estimates. Amazon Web Services, which is the company's cloud business, was its main driver for growth, with sales leaping 42% on a year-over-year basis. Microsoft was up 6.4% as the company beat Wall Street earnings expectations by 12 cents a share as its commercial cloud business topped $20 billion in annualized revenue for its fiscal first quarter. Google parent Alphabet was up 4.3% after it reported adjusted earnings per share of $9.57, which was well above estimates. The company saw a higher-than-expected surge in the volume of clicks on Google ads across the world, especially in Asia. Tech was the best-performing sector on Friday, with the Technology Select Sector Spider ETF popping 2.7% and hitting its highest level since 2000. And in economic news, the first reading on third-quarter GDP showed the U.S. economy grew by 3%, which was above an estimate of 2.5%. And in the commodities markets, oil was up 2.5% at $53.97 a barrel. Gold was up 0.4% at $1,274.40 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were strong, with the Stock 600 index up just over 0.5%. And in Asia, stocks were strong as well, with the Nikkei up 1.25% and the Hang Seng index finishing with a gain of 0.8%. Among Dow stocks, your best performers were Intel and Microsoft. Your worst performers were Merck and Chevron. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Align Technology and Amazon, and the worst performers were Expedia and Mattel. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 21 cents at $68.19, Marathon Petroleum up $1.20 at $58.47, AEP up 25 cents at $74.01, AK Steel unchanged at $6.05, CSX up 19 cents at $52.54, and Anthem was up $4.41 to finish at $211.32. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Music, theater, and dance in the MSU School of Creative Arts presents The Complete Works of William Shakespeare, Abridged. A comedy to leave audience members laughing, The Complete Works of Shakespeare, Abridged follows the antics of three individuals portraying all of Shakespeare's plays in the span of two acts. October 26th through 28th in Button Auditorium at Morehead State University. Showtime is 7:30. All tickets are $7. Call the MSU Theater box office at 783-2170 for tickets.
At some local events in our region, a blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at the Morehead Walmart from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Friday, November 3rd. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. Every donor will receive a free T-shirt. The Eat Gallery in downtown Maysville will host an open house from 5 to 7 p.m. on Friday, November 10th, featuring live music by Harry Padillo. New custom-made jewelry designs will be on display and free refreshments. The event is open to the public. That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Arlo Barnett, Logan Pemberton, Chaz Jenkins, Jack Cottle, Tilden Johnson, Kenzie Thompson, Ellen Barnett, KNN's Paul Miles, and our feature segment today came from commentator John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and Translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sean Delaney and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.